Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I always believe in the power of prayer and good intentions, so if you could, please send my friend Emily, a friend of mine here in Seattle, lots of love, light, and positive energy to her. She's been having a few difficulties recently, and I know that your good thoughts will really, really help her. One of the sponsors of my program is Delise Bartlett. She's a wonderful person who offers hot water healing and life coaching sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. Denise creates customized water healing products with structured water. She also has water workshops, and her website is www.hihado.com. That's HIGHHADO.com. She's a certified Hado instructor, and I urge you to contact her if you'd like to try one of her wonderful Hado water healing products. She can be reached at 425-306-6316. That's 425-306-6316. Or her email is denise.barrett@hihado.com. That's D-E-N-I-S-E. Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, at hihado.com. I urge you to contact her if you're interested in water for healing. Briefly, I mentioned this during the last segment, but I'll be returning to Mount Shasta this year, twice, from July 2nd to July 8th, 2019, and again from September 5th to the 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special, magical place where miracles, healings occur from the Talosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. At the bottom of the hour, I'll be bringing on my good friend Jason Armstrong from Vancouver, Canada, and he'll be channeling Adama, one of the high priests of the Hollow Earth and Telos. So I'm looking forward to talking to Jason here in a few minutes. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at area code 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd like to bring on my friend. We tried to reach Tom Palladino, but he's not available, so I'll bring on his assistant, Anui Nui, who works in scalar energy healing, and she can tell us all about Tom's wonderful healing program for a few minutes. Anui Nui, are you there?
I am. Hi. How are you?
Me on. Oh, fine, Anui Nui. Please say hi to Tom for us. I'm so sorry he can't come on, but tell us a little bit. We don't have a lot of time, but I've had Tom on before, of course, talked about his free healing program. What is his website so people could avail themselves of his free healing program?
Certainly. You may reach us at scalarlight.com.
Okay.
We are a remote energy healing modalities is what we have from various programs. So, yeah.
Okay. And is the theory, it's a little bit like the Hado work that the Emoto office in Michiko Hayashi does in the sense of everything is vibration. So with scalar energy, then Tom works with scalar energy to improve people's health. Is that how it works roughly in 25 words or less?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he does. We do broadcasting of his own unique scalar light energy,
okay,
which utilizes scalar, but he does have his own unique healing modalities. So yeah.
Okay, great. And he has a 15-day free program. Is that right for people?
Correct.
Okay. And how does that work? They just send in their picture, and then Tom does the rest. Is that right?
Yes. They go to the website. There's a red banner that says free trial. Click on that red banner, and it'll take you to a web page. Fill all that out, and then go ahead and upload your photo.
Okay. Well, there's
very simple.
Nothing speaks like success. And did you have a healing experience briefly, if you could tell my listeners briefly? We don't have a lot of time, but just briefly tell people how that helped you.
I did, and I met him through you.
Okay.
And I appreciate through your conference, the Black Wisdom Conference.
Okay.
I had a squamous papilloma tumor in my mouth.
All right.
It's called an oral wart.
Right.
And I went and did just a 15-day trial, not a penny more. and uploaded my photo, and in 90 days, it had diminished to nothing.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Now, the other doctors you had, not a doctor, but the other health people that you'd seen, what did they tell you? What did they say? Just
they can remove it.
Right.
And they suggested moving it if it was interfering with my swallowing or breathing and whatnot. But it didn't really bother me. It was no pain.
Right.
And a lot of times when they do surgery, it will grow back.
I see.
And so that's why I elected not to do it.
Okay.
It hasn't grown back. It's
okay.
Been 1 year.
Okay.
1 year already.
Wow. That was amazing. That was amazing.
But the wonderful side effect, Ted, I just wanted to say, the wonderful side effect was I wasn't even expecting, but he was able to rid my asthma that I've had since I was an infant.
Oh, excellent.
Amazing.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, anyway, I'm so sorry. We have other guests. We have to go.
Well,
but thank you so much for sharing about Tom's wonderful
you,
work. And keep up the good work there. You guys are doing great, great work.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
My next guest is just a little short promo I want to give. My good friend Mikael Lund in beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Mikael, are you there? Can you hear us okay? We'll bring Mikael on. Mikael,
yes,
are you there? Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, good.
Pleasure.
Oh, good. Well, I wanted to give you, my listeners, a little vignette of your work. We don't have a lot of time, but you have a company. What's your company called, by the way, in your website?
The website is called AliveWater.com.
Okay.
No, alive as opposed to being dead.
Right. Okay.
So AliveWater.com, and the company name is World Living Water Systems.
Okay. All right. World Living Water Systems. Wonderful. Now, Mikael, you follow the research and the work of a famous Austrian scientist from the last century called Victor Schauberger, and with your I have one. Thank you so much for you were very kind to let me to use one of my use one myself. And when the water comes out, it becomes softened. And also it becomes alive in the sense that you can see it. It has a lot of light in it, and the vibrations are very high. Is that good for your health, Mikael?
Of course it is.
Okay.
And one of the main things you can experience when you drink the water, apart from being energized, of course, is that the water, as you drink it, is a lot easier to swallow. And the reason for that is because the body is quickly finding out that this water is instantly absorbed by the body. It's not sitting there. You know how everybody is nipping to their glasses of water, yeah? Taking in minimum amounts of water at a time. On a subconscious level, of course, that's because the body knows that it takes time to absorb regular tap water or bottled water or filtered water. So when the body experiences, let's say if you drink half a glass of water in one takedown,
right,
and it still absorbs instantly in the body.
Right.
So there's also a much better distribution in the body.
Right.
And thus, of course, the hydration of all areas of the body.
Right.
And it goes to where it's most needed. So if you have very dry lungs, the first place it's going to go to is the lungs.
Wow. Well,
and the reason why it's instantly absorbed by the body is because during this vortex-induced implosion, which is being brought about by the flow dynamic shape inside, which is like a compressed river dynamic in a short span. So in a split second, the water is forming a double helix DNA-type spiral with the water folding in upon itself like a million little crashing waves.
Oh, wow.
In a split second, that is actually microclustering the water.
Right.
You can also measure the energy with Kilian photography, which is high voltage photography, showing the electromagnetic field or the life force field around things.
Well, I have tasted your water, and it is fantastic, Mikael. I'm just not making this up either. It's very, very high vibration. It's very good for you, and your products are just incredible. Could you give out your website again so people could look at your website?
www.com. A like America, L like love, I like India, V like victory, E like eternal, W like water, A like America, T like Tom, E like eternal,
okay.
I like Ronald.
AliveWater.com,
okay. AliveWater.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. Okay, great. And would you mind giving out your email, too, so people could maybe send you an email if they're interested?
Yeah, that's M, like Michael, I, K, like kilogram, A, like America, E, like eternal, L, like love.
Okay.
And then the email sign at...
All right.
AliveWater.com, AliveWater.com.
Okay, great. Great, Mikhail. Wonderful.
And there's an 800 number as well.
Okay, could you give that out, please?
Covering North America, if your listeners are not on the internet.
Okay.
And that's 888-644-7754.
7754. Okay, wonderful. All right, Mikhail, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on today again so much, my friend, and we'll have you again soon. Mikhail has wonderful water products, and I urge you to contact him and check out his website. It's amazing the kinds of products he provides people.
Maybe you should repeat the website with your American natural language.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, so we got another guest here we have to get to, www.alivewater.com. And the phone number again is 1-888-644-7754.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Mikhail, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All righty. Take care, my friend. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Mikhail Loon coming to us live from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. This next segment of the program will be on my efforts to get a new library for the Hopi, beautiful Hopi Indians in Arizona. But before I do, I was just reminded to tell you about some future events coming up. I'm scheduled to give a presentation in London, England on Thursday, June 13th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the famous Watkins Books bookstore. It's one of Europe's most famous spiritual centers in Europe. And if you'd like, please come. I'll be having copies of my book, Messages from the Masters. I'll also be doing readings after the event. That's on Thursday, June 13th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The following week, on Thursday, June 20th, Michiko Hayashi will be giving a lecture as well there at Watkins Books from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Watkins Books on Messages from Water based upon the works of Dr. Masaru Emoto. She will also be having, of course, her children's books there as well. But I hope you can come. It's a free event. Watkins Books is located in downtown London, right off Leicester Square and Trafalgar Square. But for more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And with that, Eric, I'd like to play some Native American flute music, and then we'll bring on Carolyn White and talk about a new library for the Hopi Indians. Thank you so much, Eric, for playing that beautiful little piece. When I was at the Hopi with the Hopi last week and the week before that in Arizona, one of the things I realized, in addition to their need for clean water, is that they didn't have any library. They have a bookmobile service, but no main library where people can read books and share information. Thus, I came away with the message that there's a great need for a basic library for the Hopi where they could share their beautiful knowledge, arts, and culture to both themselves and the outside world. And establishing a library will also help them perpetuate and preserve their beautiful knowledge and precious culture. If you'd like to donate books, computers, and or any funds to this effort, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. A lot of libraries and a lot of people perhaps have extra spiritual books, and any spiritual books and books on Native American culture would be especially appreciated. The Hopis are an ancient people, and they have many messages, beautiful messages on humanity's future. One of them was at Prophecy Rock, which I visited recently, where we have a choice. We can either love and take care of our beautiful planet or end our species with war, pollution, and destruction. I trust that, I know that many people here on the planet are waking up, and we'll be sure to take the former route of loving and caring for not only our planet, but also ourselves as well. Joining me on this segment of the program for the next 5-10 minutes or so is Carolyn White, a wonderful psychic from Olympia, Washington. We'll talk about the need for this new library for the Hopi. Carolyn, are you there? We'll bring Carolyn
I
on.
Certainly am. Thank you very much, Ted, and a beautiful, good day to all of your listeners.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, first off, I want to ask everybody to send lots of love and light to Carolyn and her husband, Jerry, because I know your father passed recently, and you're currently now dealing with those issues with your family back in Nebraska. So we just want to send you lots of love and light so you can get through that okay. And also love and light to your dad, who's on the other side now.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I think that we were hoping to go to the Hopi tour with you, and then, of course, my dad passed.
Right.
And that was one of their favorite areas. Both my folks, we spent a lot of time when I was growing up in Arizona, the Grand Canyon, and became very immersed in their culture. And this was back in the mid '60s, before there was a lot of awareness. And I felt very privileged to have witnessed different festivals and ceremonies down there. In the Hopi area, also the Navajo and the Zuni. And Ted, you know, I think that we really appreciate that you are bringing awareness to people about what is happening in that part of the world. And we all have to come together individually to help promote not only their life and the water quality, and thanks to the Clean Water Foundation of Washington and Martha Childress, Mashiko Hayashi, bringing awareness and bringing the clean water, but it's also about their traditions, their culture. They have some of the richest it's more than mythology, it's their stories of creation and how we can be better stewards of this planet. And I think that being aware of that, we all need to pay attention to this message, especially at this time. So I thank you so much from my heart that you are bringing this awareness to the world.
You know, the Hopi are beautiful people. And when you drive on the reservation, the first thing you see are these beautiful vistas and mesas all over the place. You can literally see for 15 or 20 miles in any direction from these mesas. They're a very old and sacred culture. The other thing, too, that sets the Hopi apart from other Native American reservations is that there's no casino there. They don't have a casino, nothing. The elders believe in maintaining traditional values as much as they can, and so they don't have a casino there. But there's hardships on the reservation too. The water quality is atrocious. And when I was there, I asked elders. I said, "How long have you been drinking this polluted water?" And they said, "Oh, about 70 or 80 years." And it's amazing that no one, and no government in particular, our government hasn't stepped in until now. Well, it hasn't stepped in to help them. It's like this policy of genocide, I hate to say it, with the Hopi, that originated back when the European settlers first came to North America back in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries. And that genocide policy has continued today. But because that's the only thing I can think of for this government to allow anybody in the United States to drink arsenic-tainted uranium water, which you're guaranteed to get cancer, is inexcusable. That's why I started this fundraising effort with your help and Martha Childress, wonderful lady, and the Leon McLaughlin, the Clean Water Foundation. And so the Hopi now are finally getting clean water filters, they're getting now clean water. They still need more help. $30,000 came in, over $30,000 came in from a wonderful lady named Teresa in Idaho. We appreciated her help so much. But those filters now are getting are getting used on the Hopi Reservation, and I was down there and I saw the Hopi drinking clean water for the first time. But there's lots of other problems too. There's no library. The young people growing up there, they don't have a base where they can go to learn about Hopi culture. There's virtually no access to the outside world. But they need help. They need our help. And there's a lot of buildings on the Hopi reservation land which could be used for a library. I talked to an elder last night, actually, and he said that there's someone else there, another lady who's interested in getting going a Hopi museum. And so I'd like to combine our efforts for a library with the museum. So I know we can do it. I was told by my spirit friends. I was at Prophecy Rock about 2 weeks ago, and I meditated, and the great spirits from the Hopi came through, and they asked me to do it. So I'm going to do it and get this through. There's several buildings already identified on the Hopi Reservation, which could be used for a library and or museum, and they're just sitting vacant right now, and they can be used. A lot of libraries across North America and the world have excess books that they either give away or they sell very reasonably to people. And I think if we all work together, those books could be channeled to the Hopi so they could establish a basic library, also with a facility for people to learn about Hopi culture. If they're interested in learning Hopi language, they could go there and learn the language. Also, they could do research on Hopi culture and customs and language so that this would be a good thing for them. They're a beautiful people, and then I think they need our help.
Yes. Well, you know, Ted, as we had talked about this previously, and when we're back home, I have a number of books that I am going to be sending to the Hopi, things on. I think they it's important because there's other indigenous cultures, very ancient cultures around the world, that has, if you start looking at them, they have a very similar, value system, the respect for the land, the reverence for the land.
Right.
So when we are back, we're going to, I'm going to send some of my beautiful books in my library about spiritualism, but history, and it's interesting because the U.S. Post Office, if you send a box that has nothing but media in it, in other words, books or tapes, CDs, DVDs, that there's a special rate. So I figured out I can send a Lowe's or box that is 18 by 18 by 16 that weighs 50 pounds, and it will only cost me $23. $23 to
contribute to. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. I talked to a Hopi elder last night about getting together a location for the books. So they're working on that now. In the meantime, if you're interested in donating some books or even old computers, would be welcome. I know they'd be very welcome for a new library for the Hopi. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I have located some storage area in the Olympia, Washington area that might be the best for now as a short term, but I would love to have a storage area down in the Hopi area so things could be shipped down there to one central location. But I know we'll get it together. We just started, and I know that people there's a lot of good people up there out there, and I know that they'll want to help.
Yes. Well, and also let's think in terms of I said we really wanted to go to the Hopi on the Hopi trip with you, and let's get something together and get the word out, and maybe make a trip later on this fall or maybe next spring, and just get again, it's bringing the awareness, bringing the love, and connecting us all as human beings, so that we are helping them, but they're also helping us because they have such a rich tradition. They have such a respect for nature. And we need to learn about their traditions. We need to learn about the history of the world. We need to learn about the cycles and the wisdom that they have. So it's about sharing. It's about sharing and giving and accepting and learning from each other.
One of the things that I learned, sadly, when I was at Hopi Land about a week ago, 10 days ago, was that a lot of young people perceive that there's no opportunities on the reservation. And so, unfortunately, there's a proportion of the young people who get involved with drugs on the Hopi Reservation, especially meth. And for the first time last year, they had their first murder on the reservation where an elder was killed by some Hopi youth who'd gotten into methamphetamines. And that really raised a red flag to me because such a facility, a Hopi library and a museum could help, could really help give a focus and purpose to people on the reservation, especially the young people there, to show them that there is a better way than destroying your body with drugs and or alcohol. Now, the Hopi Reservation is a dry reservation where you cannot buy alcohol, but still the drugs do come in from other cities. But they're such beautiful people with a beautiful culture, and I think they need to be honored and their culture preserved and perpetuated because they have so many beautiful messages. Like the message of Prophecy Rock was just amazing when I was there, that we had two choices. We can either continue on our current path and end up destroying the planet, or we can learn to love Mother Earth and love ourselves and love each other and create a sustainable and a harmonious existence with Mother Earth, with Gaia, and continue living. I think most people want that kind of future. Ernest Taho, a friend of mine there on the Hopi Reservation, told me also that there are efforts by a Canadian company called, I believe the name is Energy Resources, who are trying now to do uranium mining on the Hopi Reservation. The problem with that is that it's a very short-term mine, or it's called Energy Fuels. Energy Fuels Incorporated is their name. It's a very short-term mine. The Navajo have allowed mining on their reservation with the result that there's more than 500 abandoned uranium mines on the Navajo Reservation. And a lot of people there also drink the arsenic and uranium contaminated water. There was actually a place where I drove by where my friend Ernest said he took a Geiger counter, and right next to the road, he said that there's so much uranium, naturally occurring uranium in the rock, that the Geiger counter went out something like 60 becquerels per minute, which is quite high. And then if you walked another like 4 or 5 feet from the road right to this cliff, the Geiger counter went off the scale about 160 to 200 becquerels per minute, guaranteed cancer if you're in that area. So it's a big problem. And now when these mining companies come in and mine the uranium, that stuff just leaches into the groundwater and all the Native Americans drink it. What's interesting is that there's a Hopi Health Center on the reservation funded by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is a federal agency. And they don't get their water from the Hopi land directly. They instead have reverse osmosis, a very expensive system, to guarantee that the doctors and nurses and the healthcare professionals in that facility all have clean drinking water. But barely a quarter of a mile away across the road from that hospital is a community well, and that water is full of arsenic and uranium, but the locals have no choice but to drink from that water. But the good news is that the monies that we raised on this show last year are now going to a state-of-the-art water filter, which will filter out that water so that people will finally get clean water from that community well. But it just shows you the kinds of things. If you go on the reservation, you'll see that dichotomy between excellent service to the healthcare professionals from outside at this hospital, but right across the road, the locals drink carcinogenic water and arsenic water, and the federal government does nothing about it. Absolutely nothing about it. So, but that's why we're here.
Yeah, it's just like you were talking about the, again, I hate to use the word to genocide, but it's almost as if
it is genocide.
These people are disposable. It's that there's, and one of the things is that we have to learn, if we're going to ascend as a planet, if we're going to ascend in consciousness, is that each one of us has to realize that we are all interconnected. So really, when we look at, and I say we in more of a editorial way, the people that are in the medical facility, when they look at it, they hope and say, well, gee, we need clean water, but you can't have it.
You can't have it,
Yeah,
it's disgusting. Frankly, I can't tell you how upset I was when I saw that. But we're changing that, friends, and I'm not going to be negative about it because people have donated tens of thousands of dollars now to guarantee that the Hopi get clean water, and I know we can also get together a beautiful library for them and a museum, help them with it. I think the money and the effort and the books are there and the computers are there. We just need to tie it together. There's several actually vacant buildings on the Hopi reservation which could be used for a beautiful library museum. So we don't need to build another building. We don't need to buy land. We just need to talk to the owners and get one of these buildings accessed and then fill it full of books and then get the people to help staff it to create it a true cultural center for the Hopi Nation.
That is just so beautiful. And I think that it will also provide an outlet for a lot of the youth that are there because there's many factors with the any kind of addiction and drug usage. And a lot of it is that there's no hope. They have, it's a dead end. Why should I aspire to do anything else? So I think that if we can get this going, and I know we can get this going.
Yeah, we will. And we will do it this year. Anyway, Carolyn, well, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it. For those who'd like to donate books, computers, and or any funds to this effort for a new Hopi library, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. The Hopis are an ancient, beautiful people, and they have many messages on humanity's future. One of the most important one from Prophecy Rock is that we can either love and take care of our beautiful planet, or we can end our species with war, pollution, and destruction. I know everyone listening on this show today wants to love and take care of our beautiful planet, and that's the choice that we'll be taking for the future. But Carolyn, good luck with your family matters back there in the Midwest, and we look forward
Thank
to
you.
seeing you again soon. Thank you so much again for coming.
Thank you, and love to everyone today, and keep smiling.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn. Bye-bye. Bye. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Jason from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Jason, are you there?
I am, Ted. Hello.
Oh, good. Good. We kept playing phone tag yesterday, and I'm so glad you sent me your text message so we could talk today.
Well, no one's going to get between us.
I'm sorry, what? What, Jason?
And no one's going to get between us.
That's right.
For communication.
That's absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jason was with me on my trip to Mount Shasta last year in September. We had a wonderful time, and I'll never forget the time you came on the trip wearing glasses, and then suddenly I saw you without glasses, and then you said, Adama wants to talk to me, talk to you, Ted. So tell us a little bit about what happened to you then, Jason.
Well, when I first went on this trip, I did wear the glasses because everything was blurry.
Right.
So, you know, if of course I don't wear them, I'm going to be running into things. So,
right. Yeah.
And then, was it a few nights? It must have been a few days. After a couple of days, when it happened, we went to that that sacred springs. Remember the name?
Yeah, that's the Sacred Springs in downtown Mount. Oh no, I know where it is.
No, the other one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you walked in. You walked in by yourself into the Panther Meadows. Yeah, we can't go as a group
but you
walked in by yourself. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it started there when there was a prayer that was said.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this other language came through, telepathically. Like it must be in light language.
Mm-hmm.
And then. So that went through for a few moments, and then as we were walking back to our cars, my eyes got a little itchy.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Extremely itchy, yeah, all over.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning after that, I woke up, I took my glasses off, I put them on, everything's clear, there's no difference.
Wow.
So I just took them off and been clear since.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I know you went up to meditate at this entrance to the hollow earth, and you said the rocks started shifting. Do you remember that story you told me? You saw all these geometric diagrams.
Shift in and open in and close in, and then also the symbols came the way that we described it, like very bright, very lifelike.
Yeah, and then they told you that you were going to go into the Telos in the Hollow Earth, but then they said it wasn't the right time. I remember what you told me. So.
Yeah, the energy has changed.
Yeah, the energy's changed. That's okay. There'll be another time.
Yeah, exactly.
There'll be another time, and so that'll be good. Well, and then you said to me that Adama wanted to talk to me. One late afternoon. And so he did talk to me that evening, and he said in my dream state, he said, Ted, you can now see crystal clear spiritually. How would you like to see crystal clear physically? And I said, yes, I'd love to. Thank you so much. So the next morning, he did heal my eyes. The next morning, I woke up out of this tent, and I looked outside in the woods, and everything was crystal clear. And I said, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I kept squinting and pinching myself, saying, is this a dream? It wasn't a dream.
No.
It wasn't a dream because I'd had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye for something like 40-odd years since college, he healed them. I've also been told there will be other miracle healings this summer as well, so I'm looking forward to that. You have to be open-minded to it. You can stop the healing by being closed-minded and not believing in it, but if you believe in it, they can help you, and they can do some miracle healings. I know that there was another lady named Tammy from Minnesota who came on my trip to Mount Shasta in September of 2017, and she'd been crippled for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And she drove in a van late one night, parked her van, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, Jason, she said that the Sasquatch had surrounded her van and asked her telepathically if she wanted a healing for her legs because she'd been crippled for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And she said yes. And so what they did is that a extraterrestrial craft from the hollow earth came above her van, shot a beam of light into the van. The top of the van opened up. She was teleported to this craft. And they gave her, they basically healed her legs. They put her back down in the van. She fell asleep and woke up the next morning. And she started running around like she was crazy around the campsite. And I thought she might be on drugs. So finally I caught up with her and I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? How come you're acting so crazy? And she said, they healed me. They healed me. And I said, well, who healed you? And she said, the Telosians and the Sasquatch healed me. And so they said, look, I'm throwing my crutches and my wheelchair away. I don't need them anymore. I'm running around. So that happened, and then there was another lady. There's been other miracle healings, but the other one that really stands out was in September of 2016 when I first went to Shasta. There was a wonderful lady from Colorado who was on the trip with her husband, and she said that she'd been on oxycodone and all these painkillers for decades for fibromyalgia, and she was tired of it. She said, look, Ted, I'm sick of taking these drugs. I need help. And I said, well, say a prayer, go back up to the campsite and ask the Telosians to come heal you. And so that night they brought her on the astral plane to Telos, and they bathed her in a bathtub of golden, what she described as golden white and golden yellow light. And by the next morning she was completely, about 98-99% healed. And today she's perfectly normal. No drugs, nothing. Fibromyalgia is completely gone. So I'm not saying that's possible every time, but it's happened enough where there was another fellow from Austria who came on my trip last, I believe it was either, I think it was July, and he had Lou Gehrig's disease, which is deterioration of the muscles in the nervous system. And his wife couldn't understand, his doctors couldn't understand why he was still alive. Because they said, well, normally people only live a few years with this kind of condition. And so the same thing happened to him, and they took it away. I remember they gave him a healing at this on the mountain, And suddenly he gave up. He stood up and he ran. I think he ran 2 miles and came back. He was so happy to have his legs back because he couldn't hardly walk before. Anyway, those things do happen on the mountain. So I can't guarantee it'll happen for everyone there, but Dhamma and the Talosians are benevolent, beautiful beings, and they want to help us. They really want to help us. And anyway, your story is a beautiful one, Jason, and you're coming along too. You're coming with us in July, aren't you?
I am. It should be amazing.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I have to ask you, Jason, you've been in touch with with Adama since then. If he's not busy, I'd love to have you bring him in now if he's free, and love to ask him some questions or any messages he might like to give my audience.
He's ready to go. So okay. Let me just connect then.
Okay.
Good day, beautiful being.
Thank you so much, Adama, for coming on my show today. We really all of my listeners really appreciate it.
Well, let's we just jump in with the message of the day.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, if you could give a message of the day, it would be beautiful. Thank you.
What is going on in this world? You seem over the top. It's just being shown to see what is being hidden. It is paramount that the humans, the beings on the surface of the planet, be a little nicer to each other. Doing nothing more than that, just be nicer to your neighbor, coworker. That'll be a start.
Okay.
Also, to stop judging another being for the experience that one is having is only known by the soul of that being and source and their teams, no one else. So for someone to judge, they're not seeing the full picture. We need to get away from judging. See everyone as an aspect of the prime creator, as one. And then to expand that. When you're walking, look at the trees, the birds, the animals. See the prime creator in all that there is. And radiate that from your being. That is a way to also be in service. And to not get caught up in all the noise, the drama that's been going on the earth. It's not for everyone to know what's going on. Most do not need to know. 4-in-1 gets involved energetically. The drama, they attract that into their life. We just need to observe neutrally what is going on. Not to ignore it, just observe, let it go, and if need be, send love, forgiveness to that situation. And then let it go. So I continue.
Yes, yes, please. We've got about another 10 minutes or so, so please do. Please do.
It may seem that the earth is dying from activity that's going on. The drilling, the mineral extractions, all of that.
Right.
But Gaia will ascend. She will move on. She is not dying. This is an illusion. And yet, it is truth. what we are seeing should be seen as a catalyst for change. Seeing it and saying, something does not look right. And you yourself change from within. It can be small changes. For example, one's being nicer. Another one's forgiving others for trespasses. And ask for give forgiveness when one trespasses over another's boundaries. Another one, listen to your body. Listen to it. It is an intelligent structure. The body communicates daily. Something doesn't feel right. Tune into that area of the body. Mm-hmm. See what's going on. And if there's dense energy that needs to be moved, move it. Use the power of your mind and visualization. It works very well. Yet one needs to believe that they have that power.
Wonderful.
Another, to visualize what kind of future you want, but not in the distant. That can be 100 years down the road. Visualize it as the now. Visualize what future you want, whether it's peace, abundance for all, clean environment. Visualize that as your future, but visualize it as if it's now. Now it helps to bring it closer.
Thank you, Adama. Wonderful advice.
Shall I go on?
Yes, please. Please do. We have time. Please.
And even if one feels like all is lost, all is not lost. Mm-hmm. There is a divine plan taking place. Gaia, humanity, will ascend. Now, how many? It depends on one's choices. If one continues to judge, to not be nice to others, to manipulate, control, then those will have a very difficult time in this transition. But if one is open to change, change will happen.
Mm-hmm.
It all will work out in the end. Even if one's family is not, shall we say, on board with another being's views or beliefs, just believe that they will be taken care of. Every being will go to where they are needed and where their vibration will take them. Look beyond the suit. We are not the suit. We are the spiritual being within us, the soul. Aspect of the prime creator. That is who a true identity is. A block to this is, of course, one's adult mind. And why do I say adult mind? Because the kids have not been programmed long enough to have all the programming that the adults have.
Mm-hmm.
One must acknowledge that there's an ego mind, and then work on putting it in the background and bring the heart mind in the lead.
Mm.
You are not destroying the ego mind. You're just putting it into the background. Because the ego mind is the personality of the being. All we're doing is shifting which part is leading. If one leads with the heart mind, one cannot be lied to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's gone back to.
Okay, thank you, Adama, so much. That's such wonderful wisdom. Such wonderful wisdom. I know from my other friends, Zora and Billy from the Hollow Earth, they've told me the same thing, that we really have two different minds. We have a logical mind in the third dimension, between our two ears, in our head, and we also have a heart mind. But they say that the heart mind is actually 2,000 times stronger than what's in our logical mind. And if you always trust your heart mind, you'll never go wrong, and you'll always have make correct choices, which I thought was interesting. As a result of that experience last summer at Mount Shasta, Jason, have you been finding yourself using your heart mind more than your logical mind, and what other changes have you experienced?
Yes, I'm feeling more. So I can feel when situations or people's words don't reflect what they're thinking. I can feel it in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind is a lot quieter. And mm-hmm. I'm able to hand you the B.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know I still have things to work on, because we all do. Mm-hmm. But I think just being open to learning is key.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Have you been able to share these lessons with your children and family?
The kids are more open.
Uh huh.
But they're just kind of stuck in the middle.
Okay, sure.
Because the other family members are not open to it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's like sort of like scary for them. Hmm. How I can best describe it?
Yeah, that's too bad.
Or disrupts their
worldview,
their way of life.
Yeah, their worldview. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had Q on during my first hour of the show today, QAnon, and he said that people needed to change their belief systems if they wanted to create a better world, in the sense that you know, like in our country, we have what's called the Federal Reserve, which issues currency, but it's not federal, it's not reserve, it's 13 private banks issuing U.S. currency for their own profit. There's nothing altruistic about it at all. It's kind of like a Ponzi scheme. Mm-hmm. But as long as people believe in that fakey currency issued by the Federal Reserve, it'll continue. But I think people are waking up, and you're helping people through messages from Adama as well. I think the vibrations of the planet have really been going up. I know that last year, when we were at Mount Shasta in September of 2018, the vibrations rates were right around, I don't know, 200 or so. But now, since that time, it's gone up to over 1,000 hertz in many places, especially around Sedona and many spiritual places around the planet. Anyway, for those who'd like to come on this trip, we'll be going twice this year from, let's see here, it'll be from July 2nd through the 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th. It's just $200 for the entire trip. It includes free camping. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. Jason, we've got about a minute left. Would you like to wrap up your beautiful interview today with any parting thoughts?
We need to think for ourselves is the main thing. Not just go with the group mind.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And start feeling more than thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good advice. Good advice. Good advice. Well, Jason, I'm really looking forward to seeing you next month. And I hope you have a wonderful and happy day. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks. I hope you have an awesome day.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much.
You're
my
welcome.
Friend. We'll see you next month. And everyone, I'd like to thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. If you'd like to donate, anything would be appreciated. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can use PayPal with that same email. I hope you all have a beautiful and happy day, everyone. And as I'm speaking, this entire studio lit up in this beautiful angelic light. But thanks again so much for your listening and support. I hope everyone listening today has a beautiful weekend. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye-bye.